hopefully you'll fall asleep soon. I want to start with a picture that God gave me in worship. And it was a picture of a person. And I felt like he was defining for me spiritually how important. I never stand up here. Anytime we do stuff,
I know.
And Grace, like, yeah, I'm down there. I may just talk down there. Okay, you can see me. I'll stay right here. Okay, so the picture was of a person. And imagine a person who has, like, the spine ripped out of them. And they're, like, they're able to function. But they, like, get excited about life. Like, oh, I'm going to go play soccer. But the spine's out of them. So, like, they try to kick and then just, like, nothing really happens. Kind of, like, flailing themselves. Or they get really excited, like, I want to raise my hand to, like, volunteer for this thing. Like, that really excites me. But they can't. They, like, can't get their arm up. They've got an arm, but they don't have a spine. They don't have, like, this core piece that really matters. And what I want to talk about today, certainly God's been doing in my life, and I really feel like it is something that I cannot imagine that almost everyone hasn't struggled with, hasn't walked through. I don't know a lot of people that I look at and go, wow, that person knows how valuable they are. So we're going to talk about value, worth, and especially self-value. So it's one thing for my mom to tell me, which she did very often, you're beautiful. You're so wonderful. You know, I mean, she maybe told me out the wazoo to where I didn't hear it anymore. You know, oh yeah, that's my mom. That's what she thinks. Sure, she thinks I'm wonderful.
Right.
But, so I want to speak to whatever comes out after the but for you. And it's all of us. I mean, whether that was you as a kid, whatever your butts were as a kid, well, yeah, I really love to do art, but Sally's actually so much better at this. Or, yeah, I'm really drawn to these people, but I'm not like them. Or, gosh, I thought I was like them, and then they rejected me, and I must not be blank. I mean, there's so many different fill-in-the-blank after the but. I know we all have those. So I'm going to give you just a second, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to bring up for you, what is your but? And where's your list? Lacey. I love that list. Can I have that? While she's getting that, it's really easy for us to love our daughters well and our sons and to say, you are amazing.
Is that the first one?
You are amazing. You are important. You are special. You are unique. You are kind. You are precious. You are loved. I want to challenge you, and I want to just ask you, would you be able to, with all sincerity, comfortably look in the mirror and say to yourself, you are amazing, you are important, you are special, you are unique, you are kind, you are precious, you are loved, and actually believe it and not feel distance at some place? Well, but, well, this. And so I've just been asking the Lord about it because often in the prayer house, so I've done intermittent prayer for like 15 years now, and in the beginning of doing it, it was a lot of memory healing. God taking people back to traumatic, painful events in their life. Even if it didn't seem painful, you know, it could have just been like rejection by a certain group and it weighed on them. Or it could be sexual abuse, or it could be when their parents divorced, or it could be, you know, being made fun of by a certain person, or like being rejected by their sibling, whatever. Some of those things may not seem that big, but it actually was really big to them. So when we first started doing inner healing, there was a lot of that. Still is. Everybody has stuff they need healing from as kids. It's normal. Jesus heals. That's why I walk with him. I mean, he will do it. But then it entered into more of this, like, not just healing from pain, but now we're experiencing inner healing in the Lord walking you through your pain, yes, but then also just speaking to your identity. This is who you are.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you weren't even going to a place of pain, you were just listening to the Lord say things like this to you and show you that it was actually real by showing you pictures, by showing you lies you believed about yourself, whatever. But something that I saw start to happen like maybe 3 years ago, and now it happens, and I don't know if this is just my journey, so then I'm able to walk with people through it too, but in the last 3 years, and especially the last 3 months, I'm seeing almost every time I pray with somebody, God is showing them that at some point they rejected themselves. So they have it. We literally walk around feeling divided within ourselves. This part of me, the mature 35-year-old part of me who has received healing and who's lived long enough to go through some things and knows that that stuff happens and God loves me and I've been in church a lot and I've heard a lot of these things and I've read the Bible, can receive that I'm loved and I'm worthy and God made me with a purpose and a passion and he's called me to release his kingdom here on earth. I can believe that with my head. But I also, for a long time, have been hearing that and trying to reconcile it with my heart.
Right.
And so it's been a journey of reconciling it. And the piece that is crucial for actually reconciling it is realizing that we have a divided heart. It's not God in there saying, yeah, you're not really all that. That's not God. And I want to apologize on behalf of any leader or any church that ever told you that you were nothing. And that God thought that. Or that you are sinful. Not that you sin. Of course you sin. We're all in a broken world. But that you are sinful. It's in direct opposition to the creation story where God said you're good. That is one of our fundamental understandings of God, ourselves, and how we relate to the world and each other. And it says good, 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 good. Really good when he gets to you. Really, really good. And so the hard part is we even try to start to believe that, like, oh, I have these dreams. I have these dreams and I want to do this and that. And then we start to like, who am I to do that? Or I can't. Or this is hard. Or this is going to be a battle. Or I'm just egotistical. Or I'm selfish. Or whatever. All of that. We have this battle. And I think far more than a battle within the enemy. And the enemy can only accuse us. It's a battle within ourselves. Because if we've listened to those accusations and own them, we're not battling anything other than our own understanding of who we are. And sometimes we're in touch with that, and sometimes we're not. So during this time this morning, I want to ask the Lord to really help you get in touch with maybe a part of yourself that doesn't love yourself, or that doesn't know that it's okay to relax, to let down your guard, to let Jesus come and love you and heal you and bring unity within yourself. I think some ways that this can feel is that sometimes we feel like we're a shell of a person and we're like coming close to peer out and then we're withdrawing again. So then we actually physically in the world start to isolate ourselves because we've already isolated ourselves from ourselves. And then we may be really trying hard to connect to God, and parts of us can, but another part of us can't because it doesn't even accept itself. How can it accept God? Or it thinks that God doesn't accept this part of me. There's this part of me that I clean up, and God accepts this part of me, but this other part of me, no, he doesn't accept that. And I better get rid of that. I better beat that thing out of myself so that God can accept all of me, which is the exact opposite of the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel is that while we were still sinners, living a broken world, and I'm not talking about whatever your idea of sin, I'm talking about we were born into a place of brokenness where we didn't know our own value. We didn't know we were loved. And then we acted out of that. Anything we do that's a pattern of sin is acting out of our own self-hatred, actually.
That's good.
And that's a strong word, and it may not resonate for you, but self-rejection, self-judgment, lack of value, not feeling like we're enough, not feeling like we are important, or that we're seen, or that our voice matters, or that our thoughts matter, or that our dreams matter. And so for some of us, all those things ring true. For some of us, just a little piece of it does, but I think it's so important for us to talk about it with the Lord. And to let him start to show you any little caverns of your heart that you may have said, I've rejected myself. I haven't treated myself kindly. I think I could treat everybody more kindly than treat myself. That's the truth very often. And I'm learning. I'm starting to learn how to value myself, recognizing that if I don't actually value myself, I can't love people well. It's a facade. It's not fake. It's not lost. God will use it. But it's going to feel disconnected at the very least. And at the very worst, it's going to drive me into a like pit. I help you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to feel better about myself because I'm helping you, I'm going to see all these people set free, and I don't even know who I am. And so every time I breathe. A few scriptures that I want to look at. There's a passage in Ephesians that's talking about husbands and wives. And this kept on playing through my mind as I was thinking about this morning. And it talks about husbands loving your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. There's all kinds of ways that's been misinterpreted by people who didn't love themselves and had already rejected themselves and then rejected the person that they were supposed to love. But I think that Paul is talking to a pretty mature and healthy group here, and he's assuming something, and you'll see what he's assuming here in a second. He says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it. I don't know that I could write that. You know, I love that Paul assumes that. No one ever hated his own body. And then today, to fast forward 2,000 years, I think we would all agree, if we're even thinking about our kids again, sometimes it's easier to think about it for your kids, body image is such a huge deal. Valuing your body enough to love and care for it. And so for Paul, he's going, everybody, it's just a given that you take care of yourself. Now, treat other people the same way you treat yourself. And we don't know how to do it very well because we don't know how to treat ourselves very well. So that's something that came to mind. Ask the Lord about it. And another piece of this is that often we talk about trying to get from our head to our heart, like that, what do they call it, like the 18-inch biggest chasm in the world. I think this is all about that. This is all about that because just that picture, my head is separate from my heart, that's a divided self. Mm. That is, this part of me gets it, this part of me doesn't. Or this part of me feels this, and this part of me is going, no, not safe, not okay, not good. This part's judging this part, or this part feels rejected by this part. Another scripture, James. So where James is talking about consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And I want to tie this into an understanding of faith and doubt.
Where is that, Casey? James what?
James 1.
Thank you.
And then I'm going to fast forward a little bit through this. Okay, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Once again, this idea of like the goodness of God, every good and gift, perfect gift coming from him. And if you agree that you came from him, I want to ask you, did he have anything bad to put in you when he made you?
So good.
No. You're a first fruit of creation. That's who you are. And we don't treat ourselves like that, and we don't treat our neighbors like that. Then he goes on, and he's talking, what I love where it says he doesn't shift. He's not like a shifting shadow. Like, but often, then he talks about, I can't find it in here, but right in that same area, he talks about the man. Oh, it's verse 6. So he's saying, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault.
Yeah.
So we go to God and we're like, okay, can I have this? And then we try to wreck ourselves and go, where are all the places that I'm faulting? So, and why is God holding out on me? Because I messed up. Which again is, we don't have an understanding of the gospel. The full gospel of redemption. You're totally redeemed. He doesn't look at you and find fault anymore. He never, ever does. You may, but he doesn't. That's your voice. That's not his. That's an accusing voice. That's not his. But then it says, after, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Again, this verse has been thrown around to make us all feel guilty for not having enough faith and having doubt.
Right.
What is doubt? Blue Letter Bible. I think I always bring it up when I talk. It's really helpful. You can just type in Blue Letter Bible in your little thing, and you can explore the Bible, and you can, especially on your phone, it's actually easier to use on your phone than on the website, because when you go into it and you click on a verse, you can just click on the reference, and it'll open it up and show you every Greek word and every meaning, and then it'll ask you if you want to see the fuller meaning. So you can get an understanding that, yes, this is translated to English, it's not going to be a perfect translation, let's get the fuller version without being a biblical scholar and having to learn Greek and Hebrew.
What's the name of that translation?
BlueLetterBible.com. They have an app. The app's good, too. Okay, so I looked up that definition of doubt. Actually, I took a bunch of pictures because it's really long. Okay, doubt. Oh, I have another picture. Okay, it's diakrino. Diakrino, and it's a verb, and it means to separate throughout, to make a distinction, to make differ, making a difference, and then it also is to separate, discriminate, to learn by discriminating, to determine, to decide, to discern, judge oneself, discerning one's own condition, then discerning what the Holy Spirit is saying is another form of this word. To try oneself. To separate. To be at variance with oneself. To be divided in one's mind. Render divided in other parts of James. And I love that because... sometimes we do the right thing. We're like trying to battle doubt, but we're not recognizing what's behind the doubt. It's that I'm not totally unified within myself. So then the question would be why? And that's not a question for you to answer. It's a question for God to answer. And he will answer you. You could sit there and talk with your girlfriends all night about why you're divided within yourself. Mm-hmm. You could talk to a counselor, which I believe in. I do. All day long, but at the end of the day, the one who gives wisdom to anyone who asks without finding fault will give you wisdom into why you have divided from yourself.
So good.
And so often when I'm praying with people right now, God is showing them parts of themselves, say age 3, age 5, age 18, it doesn't matter, it's very specific to each person, where at some point they experience rejection from other people, and it turned into self-rejection. Mm-hmm. Because rejection from other people hurts. I was reading a thing on Psychology Today talking about how rejection actually triggers the same spots in your brain as physical pain.
Wow.
This is why it's so hard for us to deal with. So we all experience rejection at some point, and then most of us, because we were born in a broken world, and we didn't know that we were totally loved all the time. We weren't loved perfectly by our parents. We weren't loved perfectly by our siblings and our family and friends. We didn't maybe know, some of us maybe better than others knew how to love ourselves, but we then decided that we too would join in that course and reject a part of ourselves. Well, I guess I just this. Well, I guess they are this and I am that. And we're starting to make self-judgments. So at that point, or we got really wounded. So say, like for me, as a baby, I experienced sexual abuse. And I, as a baby, I'm fully there. I'm a full human. I just don't have words yet. So I don't have my own voice. And what's happening to me feels so wrong. But it's in a setting where it's supposed to be right. So I'm very confused. And I spend the rest of my childhood days judging myself on that, especially when I had real sexual nightmares from age 4 to 7. Well, I must be horrible. I am a horrible child. I'm horrible. I'm yucky. I can't tell anybody about this. Nobody. I did tell my mom. I didn't tell her about it. I just said I'm having horrible nightmares. They're the same nightmare every night. And I never would have told her at that age. And she, this is my first experience of God in a really, really powerful way. She said, well, you know what? We're just going to pray that God takes these away for good, that you never have this again. we pray. That was my first remembering of actually praying something that mattered, and I never had another nightmare again. I still remember them like they were yesterday, but at age 7, I was totally set free of those horrible nightmares that made me feel so much shame. Was that shame my fault? Would anybody as a mom tell me that I was shameful? No, but I sure thought I was because of that hurt. So what happens psychologically, spiritually, and even sometimes physically is that when we're hurt, so whether that's experiencing rejection or experiencing some really painful thing that shouldn't have happened, or just a normal thing in life, you know, hurricane, I'm separated from my home, I'm scared. When those things happen, little pieces of us overreact, and they go, I'm going to protect you. You feel vulnerable, and you feel weak, you feel shameful, don't you worry. Casey, I will protect you. I will protect you. I will be strong. No one will ever hurt you again. This is like what's happening in your psyche. Okay. And that little piece kind of makes a vow to just protect. No one's going to hurt. I'm going to put up walls. And that little piece, because it's immature, starts to believe lies. I'm weak. I'm vulnerable. So I better protect myself. Don't go around men. Don't tell anybody what's going on with you. Everything's fine. That's your line. Everything's fine. So then I go throughout the rest of my life, and I continue to grow up, of course. I'm 12 now, and I'm having fun, and I enjoy my friends. But every now and then, something scares me. Something triggers me, and I literally might as well be that three-year-old again going, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. Casey's not shameful. You know, and I start acting out of that little part of me that, for good reason, God made us this way. God actually made us in a way that I was not walking around my whole life carrying the weight of this abuse. Because if I had, I probably would have felt totally drowned in it. He allows us, in his mercy, to compartmentalize. Okay, there's a part of my brain that remembered it, and I shut it down and put it over there. But then as we get older, he goes, okay, you know what, Case? Now you're at a place, you don't need to do that anymore. You're safe. The trauma's over. You're loved. And so I'm like, yes, I'm loved. And I start to hear his voice. And then I go, and this isn't going to be as extreme for a lot of you because you probably didn't experience that. But actually the statistics say 1 in 3 women have experienced sexual abuse and 1 in 6 men have. Wow. I hope that's wrong, but that's what they say. So I shouldn't dismiss it that easily because 1 in 3 is a lot of you. Regardless, whatever we experience, for good reason or bad reason, we have divided parts of ourselves. So here's what I want to do. I want to ask the Lord to just come and minister to you, because here's what will happen. If we're in a, I started to tell you this and then I jumped ship. If we're in a healing prayer appointment, very often the Lord will show whoever I'm with 2 spheres. Or that little part of them looks like a little girl that is crying or that feels so in the dark. And the literally, we will pray a prayer where we say, the older you know, older Deborah, at age, whatever your age is, tell the littler parts of you that it's okay, that they can stop protecting you. And let Jesus grow them up. Let Jesus speak to them. So you've heard a jillion times you're loved. But any little part in you that doesn't feel loved, whether we understand it or not, let Jesus come and speak to that part of you. Any part of you that has a but this. And some of it may be shame, but I did this. It may be like an actual thing that you're wrecked with guilt or condemnation about. And yeah, you are guilty, but you are not to be wrecked by guilt and condemnation. You feel guilt so that you can actually get free of the shame. So that Jesus can come in and expose it to the light and say, I don't judge you. Like the woman caught in adultery. You know, all these guys want to stone her. And they tell Jesus, you know, this is what she did, this is what she did. And she's probably terrified that of all people that Jesus is going to go, yep, that you deserve to be stoned. I'm sure that was the pattern of thought going through her mind. It probably would have been mine. And he comes and he writes in the sand. And then we don't know what he writes. But he says, whoever of you that's not, you know, sinned, you can go the first step. So go for it. And they all, one by one, walk away. And he says, they don't judge you, neither do I. And I feel like that's what the Lord wants to do today. And tying it back to the picture that I got of the skeletal system and the spine. When we haven't loved the core of who we are, it's like trying to live without a spine. Because that deeper part of you, the part of you that you may have judged and rejected, has all, it's like the place where creativity is birthed, dreams are birthed. The call of God on your life is in there. It's locked within there. So as long as you try to raise your hand and say, God, I'm in, and then you're not in. Or I want to get in the game, I want to kick the soccer ball, and then you're on the sidelines. And you're like, why am I sidelined? Why am I not, why do I not even, why can't I get over the hump? You know, I would say, look and ask him if there's a part of you that doesn't actually think that you deserve to be over the hump. If there's a part of you that doesn't know that you actually are called by God to do great and mighty things in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Because that's what Jesus was all about. He was all about walking around and unlocking people into who they are now in the kingdom of God. Not once did he say, I want you to believe in me so that one day you will bust out of this hellhole and be with me in heaven. He never said that. And he didn't just say, hold on, because your life's going to be really tough. He didn't say, yeah, you'll have trials. But he did not say, follow me, it's going to be really bad. It's going to be terrible. You're going to hate yourself. You're going to hate other people. But one day you'll be with me in heaven and there'll be no more tears. Yes, in heaven there'll be no more tears. Yes, things will be hard on earth. We live in a broken world. There is evil in the world. But he said, behold, I've overcome the world. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, you're going to do greater things than I do. He said, you will live life abundantly. He said, you are more than an overcomer. He said, you are able to heal the sick. He said, you are able to cast out demons or set people into their right mind and who they are. He said, follow me and those things will follow you. He didn't say, go pursue those things. And just a plug for Christ Healing Center, we don't pursue healing here as our priority. Healing's awesome, but it's a byproduct of pursuing Christ. Christ Healing Center. We follow Jesus and those things will follow. And if you follow Jesus, those things will follow.
Good.
If they don't follow, and I'm certainly, this is not judgment, but if you read the Gospels, just go home and read the Gospels, and then tell me that following Jesus doesn't include all those things, then I just can't even imagine that we're following the same Jesus. He heals. He brings joy. He brings peace. He brings fullness. He restores. He brings unity. He brings faith. And remember, faith would come from a place of undividedness within ourselves. So we're not trying to muster it up. We're trying to go, why am I divided here? How do I really feel? I know for me, I wanted to feel all the good stuff, so I'd choose that rather than going, oh, no, I was actually hurt right there. I need to deal with that. Oh, no, that actually made me mad. I at some point vowed to never feel mad, so I was never mad. Well, nobody ever feels mad. Okay, I think I want to read one more thing. Rejection hurts. Self-rejection keeps us in hurt. I want to just tell you you're not alone. Now to you who believe, this is from 1 Peter 1 or 2. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. And they're talking about the stone of Jesus himself. And then it addresses those who do not believe. And they quote, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And I just love that. I felt like the Lord led me to that scripture this morning because he wanted to say, he identifies with us. He didn't come to reject us. He came to save us. We know that. But functionally, do we know that? That he didn't come to reject us? He came to save us. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. And then he comes and he goes, I know what it's like to be rejected. They rejected me. And that stone has become the capstone. And that stone, who we stand on, who we get our strength from, we get our identity from, that stone whose life literally fills us, that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. He fills us with the life of Jesus so that we can actually be Jesus in the world. That stone was once rejected, but he did not enter into self-rejection. Look at it again. Read the Gospels. Did he ever mention anything about rejecting himself? Was he critical of himself? Would you say he was haughty? No. To love yourself and to stop rejecting and judging yourself will not make you arrogant. Well, we think it will. We have this little religious lie that runs through our head, like thinking that to love ourselves would be selfish. It's right. Not. So, take a minute, and I'm going to put on a worship video. I'm going to put on two, actually. And just in, you know, get comfortable. One of the biggest things about Awake that we want you to feel is comfortable. And I know that when you walk into a group of women sometimes, especially for the first time, all of your rejection stuff will get triggered.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all know. So, y'all are using Target here. But sometimes I'll walk into a group of my dearest friends who I never feel rejected by, and all of a sudden I feel rejection. It'll come out every now and then, and we're not trying to battle rejection. The Lord puts his finger on things. He shows you where your tweak button is, your butt, so that he can heal you.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you feel it come up in you, don't push it down. That's the sign of a divided heart. Go, that's interesting. Where did that come from, God? Back to don't diagnose it yourself. Don't take it to your friend. You can take it to your friend later. Take it to Jesus. He is the one with wisdom. So right now, I'm asking you to write on the top of your page, wisdom, really big. And then underneath that, I want you to put a question one, and this is a question for yourself. And you're addressing these questions to Jesus about yourself, because he'll give you insight to yourself a lot faster than you can figure it out. Jesus, what are my buts about myself? And you may be having them flood into your mind right now. They may sound like phrases. Just write them out. Or he may be giving you a picture or just a feeling. He communicates with us all differently. The way that you think is probably the way he'll communicate with you. This is this incredible platform that God gave you to communicate with him. This is not an isolation station. You are not alone in your thoughts, ever. God is with you. So you're going to act like it when you ask him these questions. He's there. He's going to respond to you in his thoughts. There's no one here that can't hear his voice. Let's just, if that thought even came to you, that's one of your buts. Okay? If you just thought, I can't hear his voice, or I don't know how to do this, that's one of your buts. So just list it out. Totally fine. Say, take a step back from it. That's interesting. And then number two. Jesus, what are the dreams that you put in me when you created me? And with dreams, that can be desires, hopes, whatever word makes sense to you. Aspirations, call, the joys. And you're going to do a process with both of these questions, and they're kind of going to be flip-flop. So with the first one, we're asking them about our butts. So it's one thing to know my butt. Maybe one of my butts is I can't hear from them. Totally fine, because you're hearing from him that that's one of your butts, so that's great that you highlighted it. You're going to want to get Jesus' truth. So this is one, so you're just, this is your prayer process. Jesus, this is my butt, but what's the truth? And then write it out next to it. And you may have a long list of butts that you need to spend an hour alone and just sit down and ask Jesus and do it point blank. Jesus, this, but what's the truth? And go with the next thing that comes to your mind. That's how you capture the thoughts of God. He speaks so fast. They like, you know, there's all these studies of the brain, and I love reading all those, about how like we think in this really fast way. So often, like, we ask God a question, and he's already answered us, and we don't even realize it because we move past it. Like, he's going to answer you super fast. Hold on to it. If you have the glimmer of hope, like if you just have this thought, hope, don't dismiss it as like, well, what does hope mean? I don't hear from God. Write it down. Hope. Jesus, what are you saying about hope? And what's the next thing that he says? That's how you capture it. So you're doing the but, and then asking him about the truth. And then for number two, you've asked him a question first, right? So Jesus, what are the dreams and your dreams and desires that you put in me from the beginning when you created me? And then I want you to ask him another question about this and say, have I rejected these in any way? And he may just bring things to your mind. You might remember when you were in fifth grade and you were so excited about a concert, and then you got embarrassed, and then you decided you would never pick up an instrument again. Don't dismiss that. He's wanting to show you where a little part of you rejected yourself. And the beautiful thing is, it's so easy to go back and apologize to yourself. Everybody here knows how to apologize when we mess up with our kids. I'm so sorry. I was so impatient with you. I lost it this morning. Please forgive me. I need help. That's what you do to yourself. Casey, I'm so sorry that I didn't value you. You. And I'm going to lead you through that prayer right now, like a value prayer. And so you have a model. But then when the song comes on, y'all just take your time and do this. And I'm just going to demonstrate it, what I would do. And I actually have one on my mind, so I'll do it for real. Casey. And I might, it sounds funny to talk to yourself, obviously. But it's important because we're a self. Here's the thing. We know that everybody else is a real person, and they're just flesh and blood. And I don't mean flesh simple. I mean, they're like, we're made of the dust. Like, I have so much grace for Ashley. Like, God made her this incredible woman. She's the hardest on herself. And I love her. Like, I hope she can see how amazing she is. Like, we all know she does, but she doesn't maybe totally. Like, but to me, I don't look at myself like that. I'm like, well, you should have this, and you should have that. You know, I'm not looking at myself as an actual human. God made this human. And he is jealous to see this human loved and valued. So he came and gave his life for it. So I'm going to look at myself like a real human. And I'm going to apologize to myself like I might to somebody that I really, really love. So Casey, I'm so sorry that I never paid attention when you wanted, the only thing you wanted to do was art class. All you wanted to do was paint. And I'm so sorry that I didn't even know that you, I didn't even listen and think that that was a valuable desire. So I just was quiet and I didn't let you have a voice. But you know what? Your voice matters to me now. So I want you to know, Casey, that you are free to paint. You are free to explore creativity, and that it's okay if it's not hard. That means it's good. And I'm so sorry that I told you that if you liked it too much, it must be bad. Will you forgive me? Your voice matters, and I want to hear it every day. Okay, so there's also a piece that the Lord keeps reminding me of like, where he says, let the little children come to me, do not hinder them. We all have this inner child. We all have this inner piece of us, and you may not call it a child, just this inner authentic voice. And we self-regulate it. We tell it, ooh, you're too much, or you're too little, or whatever. But that little voice is part of that kingdom of heaven thing where Jesus says, the children will lead you into the kingdom. And the little child in you probably knows a lot more about the kingdom in you today. So let those things of question number two, let that be a really valuable question for you, because I think it's the bigger question than what are your wounds and what are your lies. And God's been doing a lot of work on what are your wounds and your lies in your life. But he's really, really, really trying to get you past that so you can get into the dreams. The dreams are a lot bigger than the lies. The dreams are way more important to pay attention and lean into than the junk. So I think as a church, we're entering a new season of this. Number two is not going to stop after number two. It's just a start. Okay, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For some of you, actually, you may have that time to do it, take it. But 2 minutes is doable. And just ask those two questions and just get one answer for both. And let's do it every day for 1 week and see what God shows you. Just try to commit to that, or just do whatever he tells you to do. But I'm saying, if you do that, I think you'll be excited and impressed by what the Lord shows you about yourself. You'll have a lot more self-insight and wisdom from heaven than you can imagine. So God, will you come and just continue whatever you want to do in our hearts? We just love your word. We value your words. We value who you are. You literally came to reveal yourself, the heart of God, become the Word made flesh. And then you told us, you get to be little me's in the world, but don't do anything apart from the Spirit. So, Lord, we don't, and we won't, and we just wait on you to show us, and we ask you to fill us with your Spirit, fill us with your presence, and give us insight into who you made us to be. For your glory, God. This is not about us. It is about us. Matter, but it's really about you getting your reward. You came so that we could be set free. You came because you valued us. So we will value us too. And in that, Lord, as we value ourselves, make us the greatest lovers of people.
Yes.
Make us the greatest mothers,
yes.
Fathers, neighbors. Not because we're trying so hard, but because
right.
It's who we are. We're able to. Because you empower us. Thank you, God, and we love you. And if anybody wants more,